You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You're now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7, back from, took a sick day. You know what I'm saying? Had a chance to watch you guys rock out. The show must go on. You guys did a great job. Appreciate you all for doing your thug thizzle. A lot of comedy. I was laughing. Frustrated about Terry's hair. And other than that, I think everything else went smooth.
All right.
Good to see y'all. My man Jay Moore is in the building. How are you, sir?
Doing love, you know.
Doing love.
Doing love, doing well, doing life.
It's a new one for you.
Diddy.
Yeah, everything is, you know.
That album coming out? Or
You know what? Everybody else putting an album out. I might as well put one out. I don't have any actual musical talent, but that hasn't stopped anybody so far. So
I mean, we had a video game set up for you. I can't remember the name of it. Jay Moore or something.
Yeah. Well, I'm not doing that.
Fair enough. My man Longevity, how are you, sir?
Doing spectacularly swell. Thank you for asking.
Oh, good. Did you mean that?
Sure. I don't know. I don't have time to think, man. What's going on?
Multiple. I see what you're doing. Yeah. My man DJ J Diff, what's happening, man?
Salutations.
How's everything?
Good, man. Remember, you can go get a toupee or, like I said last week when you weren't here.
Yeah.
Bosley for men.
Yeah.
You can get hair plugs.
Yes.
All that, man.
What?
Well, I think that only
works. Carlos Boozer.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, you can just spray paint your head.
I ain't doing that because it's going to sweat off. I ain't going to embarrass myself.
Why you wouldn't do it?
Because have fun with it, man.
That's part of the main reason. Yeah, I'm not mad at Terry, though. You know, cool. I'm all right with it. Yeah. They did a good job.
I didn't know. I had to ask.
You did. Cool. You grown. But just so you know, see, you never give me my flowers when I'm making progress. That's what I don't like about you. Like, if I ain't bothered you all day, said nothing negative. At least you're supposed to be like, Mike, man, I see you.
Participation trophies out here.
Right. No, it's not.
It's like you want.
I don't want a lot. Don't do that.
You want acknowledgement for like the bare minimum. Like,
always want credit for things they're supposed to do.
I'm out here breathing every day, man.
Them people that be like, I got a house, I got a car.
Listen, man,
I got a job.
Be like, congratulations, you're a functioning adult.
If you see your friend doing something different in a positive, going in a positive direction,
right?
Just.
Yeah, but the direction was so negative to start with.
I mean, you literally started out with
I was hating
last
week, but I've came around because I've slept a little bit. I've accepted the fact.
What's the first step? You said it earlier, is acceptance, right?
Acceptance.
I have to accept it.
Yeah.
So if I say, I'm a hater, all right, now I'm moving in the right direction.
But are
your boy a bone? Clearly, today, I'm 100% positive.
But is not being a hater, which is something that embodies somebody's entire lifestyle.
The whole lifestyle.
Well, think about it. Like, because being a hater is like a personality trait. It's not just 100%. Something you turn on and off, right?
No, it's something like you have to live the life of a hater.
Better than you.
Yeah. So can you really just show up and just not outwardly hate one day and be like, I'm making a positive change?
Not one day, though. We're gradual here.
Let me ask you this question.
Come on, let's go.
What are you actually doing actively? Make yourself less a hater.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at myself and saying, you know what, Michael? You hate it there.
You going to therapy?
No, I'm not. This is
you need to go to therapy.
No,
This is my Charlemagne the guy.
Yeah, you doing that Charlemagne. You need to go to therapy. Therapy is good for people.
Every black man needs to go to therapy.
I might need
white man too.
I might need therapy for real life, but for the hating, I don't need therapy.
Sean.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Terry likes to keep me involved.
100%. Yeah, inclusion. But look, I just know that I'm making progress, that's all.
Where do you feel like you're making the most progress?
Today when I came in.
I don't mean from like an instance. I just mean like what about you?
I have consistent. Terry's a good gauge for my hate, right? That he's a good gauge.
Because you normally just don't like Terry.
You just come in here and hate on
Terry. He's a good gauge for me to see how much I'm hating. Yeah. I can, you know, bounce ideas off him and he'll tell me if I'm
hating. Don't spend any money around Mike. Don't wear a new shirt, a new pair of shoes.
It ain't about that.
Nothing.
But what I'm saying is those tendencies have started to go down. Like, there's a change. I see it. So, you know, y'all will see it. You'll start, just pay attention long as it's happening.
I pay attention. That's why I'm asking the questions, because if you're serious about this, I want to make sure that you are doing the things that are actually going to achieve long-term success.
To keep it. I feel
that's,
you.
That's, do the due diligence.
That's friendship stuff right
there. That's a real friend. I'm working on it, man. I'm working on it.
This is such an interesting conversation. Because like, I don't even know if it's real or not. But
it's real. It's real.
But, you know,
Jerry's a good guy, man.
He's a time hater. Remember that... That skit on Chappelle's Show, the time haters, they would go back in time and hate on people.
Mike wishes he
could do that.
Yeah. There's a few things I could go back in time and hate on. I'm with you.
Buck Nasty.
Man.
Hater of the Year, 2005.
Shout out to Patrice O'Neal, who passed away, who was dope in that skit, too.
Yeah, he was.
Shout out to Charlie Murphy. He's no one.
Where's
you know,
the drink?
Yeah. Charlie Murphy as well.
Yeah, so there's a couple people in that skit that are no longer with us.
Willie D in a little bit of hot water, man. Like I said, I know he don't care.
Willie D gave me one of my best pieces of advice, though, that I live by to this day.
What'd he say?
Bald-headed hoes?
No, he said, wow. He said, if you got a beater, you don't need her. See, they talk about all the negative influence in hip-hop, but Willie D put me on game. He said, if you got a beater, you don't need her. Thank you very much, Willie D. If nobody else has said thank you for that jewel, thank you, Willie D.
That's wisdom. We'll try this one on for size.
Didn't he also say, back up in your ass with the resurrection?
He also made bald-headed hoes.
All right, well, here we go.
Whatever you take
from that what you will. I took lessons from Willie D. Whatever. Y'all need to stop.
Yeah, every chapter ain't that positive, so just be careful when you're going through that book at Willie D. I want to skip over a couple chapters.
He was able to run for office, so he must not be in too deep of water.
Yeah. I'm with you when you're right. He had a post as it relates to Kanye after his White Lives Matter
shirts,
whatever you want to call it, that you guys discussed last
fiasco.
Week. Fiasco is good, and he's been adding fuel to it ever since. He said Kanye West's civil rights activist mama didn't die because of a botched surgery. I think she committed after realizing she had raised a self-loathing coconut.
I think he probably just meant nut, and that's just
that's the only emoji you can
emoji
use.
Emoji that he used for nut.
Oh, no. Good call.
How many people you know cost someone a coconut?
Hey, man, Kanye West is one big coconut.
Thank you, Long.
I guess he is maybe white in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. They're white inside.
There's a bar there.
There's always some way you can bring it around.
Coconut emoji, man. It's white on the inside. Right.
So maybe
buy from marketing.
It might have been a bar there, a hidden bar for Willie D.
Might have been.
Long, talk to me, man. Is this OC? Is this out of control, man? Is this over the top?
The whole party's out of control.
Because keep in mind now, Willie D made a video responding to all the Kanye people in his inbox, and he said basically, this is my opinion, and I should have taken it down and just said F y'all. That's what he really said. So he's not going back at any point.
Do they know who Willie D is?
They clearly don't. They clearly don't know who he is. But go ahead, Lone. I'm sorry.
I mean,
I know you know who Willie D is.
What I would say is this. Did he maybe step too far by saying that his mom died a different way?
Maybe.
Yes.
Okay.
But everything else, Kanye deserves what's coming to him, the way I feel about it. And, you know, he's out there grifting the way that he is, and he's doing, you know, talking to Sean Hannity and everything that we talked about
Tucker
last
Carlson,
week.
Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, but same person. Same person.
You know,
Jason Whitlock vouching for him on Fox
Hannity,
News.
That's when I know I would have gone too far. Of all
you
of
know, if Jason Whitlock vouching for
we
you,
we ain't
on
talking
Fox.
About Jason Whitlock, man.
But I'm just saying,
he's an unfortunate.
Dude is a goofy.
Yeah, but
sorry.
Alumni of my high school.
Yeah, but
my college.
What I was gonna say, the Hannity or whoever, the Fox News guys that are just, you know, they are who they are.
Right.
Shouts to Denny Green. But I don't know. When it comes to responding to Kanye, he's putting himself out there, and that way he's inviting all of this. So no, the only thing that I can say that he went potentially too far on is maybe bringing Kanye's mother into this.
Yeah, you can't bring mom into this.
Yeah. Go ahead,
because
Terry, jump
honestly,
in there.
Like I said before, he would be a lot more centered if he still had that piece.
I agree.
But, I mean, this is Willie D talking. And when Willie D talks, people listen. And
he truly doesn't care
what anybody thinks about what he says. So,
I mean, in today's era, I knew as soon as I read it, I said, oh, it's rap.
I'm sorry, but Kanye is not the same Kanye, man.
He's not.
He's literally all the stuff he was rapping about earlier in his career, like what was the line? They made us hate ourselves and love their wealth.
Yeah.
He's on that same track.
Like he's literally
on the
a Balenciaga grill. It's like right now you literally can't keep the white man out of your mouth right now.
And you bruised your face just
I messed around because I mean I'd be checking out and seeing what Kanye does. So I watched that little documentary and lost like 30 minutes of my life.
Was it stupid worth watching? How stupid was that?
Man, it was a waste of time, essentially.
Okay. Was it like somebody just following him around filming and there's no focus?
So there was a portion where he's at Adidas talking to them about how they made him feel, showing them porn videos.
What?
Like, yeah, he showed them a porn video to make them feel uncomfortable because he said that that's how y'all make me feel when you steal from me, essentially.
Dang.
And then he was riding in the car rapping his whack song. I'm talking about y'all don't really love Ye. Go listen to Drake.
That's the hook?
Yes.
Nuh-uh.
I promise you. He's riding around with a whole bunch of yes men that are dope or co-signing him on this song.
Like, they was gassing him in the background?
They was gassing him on every song he did. They was gassing him.
Was Antonio Brown there?
Don't do that.
He wasn't. He probably told him, put that mess on, though. Literally. That's his song.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Loves.
I mean, he's getting the attention that he seeks.
He is.
And it's marketing. Everything, all of the chaos usually happens around a release. Y'all touched on it last week. What do you think his release is this time?
I mean, he literally on the video too, though. On the video, he said, I feel like I'm in a place now where I don't have to pretty much be the face of this anymore. Mm-hmm. So he says stuff like that, but then he does outlandish things.
I mean, is this all based on the release of whatever his clothing line type thing is? Or is it
clothing line ain't hot, though.
I think
I rock with the shoes, but the clothing line is...
So is it all? It's still it all that executive homeless people wear?
100%. I think it lines up. It's eerie how it lines up with the fashion drop that the shirt dropped on the same time. That's no coincidence, in my opinion. No, that's absolutely intentional.
You know what I'm saying?
My thing is like, what else is he trying to?
Oh, what the?
He thinks that he's like the super smartest person in the world, right?
And he's got 2024 election run.
That's kind of what I'm thinking too, because he had the hat. You know what I mean? And I guess, yeah, maybe for the show, just to see, like, will the Republicans fully get behind him? And we saw Tucker Carlson, as you said, like, literally interview him. And it almost seemed like Tucker Carlson was, like, wetting his pants when he was saying certain things. Like, he was getting so excited.
This is the thing
with Republicans and black people. Anybody black that co-signs the Republican side of things, they're going to put you on a pedestal in order to try to recruit more black people to come over to that side.
I agree with that.
That's the reason why they have frickin' frack.
Those two ladies.
Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yeah, Bebop and Rocksteady co-signing and inviting them to all their events, because if people see a black face, then they're comfortable with supporting them, or they want to just follow suit. I mean, me personally, I don't like what the Democrats are doing. I don't like what the Republicans are doing either, but I'm not going to openly just be like, I'm a Republican.
Right.
Just because somebody black is. You know what I'm saying?
Well, kind of get back to what we're talking about. Like, I thought Willie D went entirely too far.
Okay.
To say, you know, his mother transitioned because she didn't want to be around her son. That was too much, Willie D.
I can't vouch for that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I kind of like the fact that he went as sensational as Kanye did.
Yeah. But you know what? That's true. And he took a page from Kanye's book.
He actually said that too.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay.
He said, y'all reacted. Now, I don't want to misquote, but he said, y'all react to Kanye doing XYZ, but then when I do XYZ, it's, you know, a different response. He did say something to that effect.
But, you know, any other criticism of Kanye, he has to understand that this is where, you know, he's brought this on himself, and he's only making it worse. It's like he's trying to alienate. He's like, okay, I'll go over here and I'll say what I think I need to say, and I'll alienate these people. But then I need these people to have my back when I'm going through this particular situation. So I'll run back over here and say,
he's playing hopscotch.
Yeah. And then, okay. And then when I feel victimized again over here, I can run back over to Fox News, and then I can run a Drink Champs. And then I'll, you know,
just to show everybody I'm still for the culture.
The Breakfast Club interview is coming soon.
Yeah.
Oh, for real.
I mean, come on now.
I wouldn't doubt it.
The way things, the cyclical nature.
I'm sure they've reached out to him.
No, no, what I'm saying
because is, because like I said, anybody who says, oh, yeah, we off, yay, when that interview opportunity comes,
They play the numbers people. Game like anybody
I thought
anybody
you were
else.
Being like serious. No, I can no, definitely I, see him going on there. I
yeah,
just,
he's yeah.
Go,
and then he's going to try to say, you know, this is what it is. And this is when he's going to try to, you know, get back a good graces of, you know, black entertainment culture. And he's going to bring up the Kardashians and what they did to him.
To his
and
black
how
kids.
They're and how Adidas is an evil white corporation that took his shoe designs.
Shouldn't have signed with him.
You know, but then when he feels like, once again, we on his head a little bit, he'll run back over and have part two of Tucker Carlson.
He also blamed some of his mental health issues and his breakdown on Louis Vuitton backing out of their deal with him.
Why is everything based or why is his...
because white was once again
with
because
white
acceptance is basically his entire existence.
And it's I've crazy. Never seen anything
and
like
that's it. True. But then he'll say some stuff like that. But then he'll rewind and say, because over in Paris, it's a lot more racist and things like that. So, you know what I'm saying? How can you say this
yeah,
and
you
want to be aligned with it? But it's like this, and you don't agree with it.
Well, there's a simple answer to all this, and it's something we've touched on in the past. He's just simply a narcissist. He's simply a narcissist who's got mental health issues, and everything that he does is based upon his narcissism. Even this latest stunt is literally based upon the fact that he's a narcissist. It's literally what it is.
He pretty much was saying everybody's wearing Black Lives Matter shirts, people are wearing it, and that company is not real or whatnot, and they're fake. And so I made a White Lives Matter just to answer that. So he was pretty much saying he didn't make the shirt in order to just say that he's about to go on this rant about why White Lives Matter. He just did it to spite people wearing Black Lives Matter shirts.
But he but also
that's still stupid.
What he doesn't understand or he refuses to understand because he wants to be provocative and be talked about is white people saying White Lives Matter. That is a racist reaction.
Yeah.
To black people saying, hey, our marginalization in this culture and our mistreatment by the police needs to stop. But there are just white people who like see something. And a lot of times I feel like white people feel like they're when anytime they feel like they're being left out, you know, their reaction is like, well, what about us? White lives matter. Too. We know your lives matter.
It's the same.
Like when have they
like,
ever not?
Like there was a situation in the news. And I know some of you seen it. Maybe
he
some
said
of you
that
didn't.
Too.
And I'm going to just break crazy. It down without giving you too many details. Because we don't want to go too far down that rabbit hole. But there was a white teenager in the past 7 days who was sitting in his car eating a hamburger. Cop ran up on him. And, you know, he wasn't committing any crime. And the cop shot him as he was fleeing four times. He
Dang.
Wasn't, you know, but you know what? And he survived. Thank goodness he survived that encounter. But you know what? The cop was fired immediately. They didn't have to call the feds.
Yeah.
They didn't have to go back and forth with the police union.
Right.
They fired this police officer.
Immediately. Wow.
Immediately for shooting
Imagine
an unarmed.
That.
An unarmed white teenager who wasn't committing a crime.
There was no press conference on a court
was,
steps
there,
with his
no,
parents
no,
there, or anything
there wasn't,
like that.
Well, they didn't have to do any due diligence because
no.
it
now,
happened.
Now, when Tamir
like
Rice was shot, mm-hmm. you know, they keep trying to give the cop who shot Tamir Rice another job.
Yeah.
Even though when he was on the Cleveland Police Department, basically... He tried to get a job, his initial police job, and his supervisor said he is not mentally stable enough to carry a service weapon.
Yeah.
But he kept applying to police departments until they just stopped asking the question. And then after being on the job for 6 or 7 months, he winds up killing Tamir Rice. Mm. After he was, you know, let go or whatever happened to him, like he has reapplied to be a police officer several times and like he's gotten the job until somebody finds out who he is.
That's crazy.
Like, so it's like they are going out of their way to make sure this cop that got to kill Tamir Rice gets another job. But I'm telling you, as soon as this white kid was shot, they didn't have to have any press conferences. They didn't look. They were like, no, you can't be out here shooting unarmed white teenagers who are just trying to enjoy a hamburger.
We sending you
You're
home
fired
right now.
Today.
I'm sending you home right now.
No discussion.
Yeah.
So
the irony.
So, you know, that's the, when we talk about Black Lives Matter, that's what we're talking about. So when you say White Lives Matter, you don't have to tell us that because we see it every day. He and there's a stone cold example of why White Lives Matter.
You said Kanye said that as well.
Yeah.
He folks acknowledged that as well.
It's the elephant in the room. Everybody knows that.
I feel you. It's obvious to me. It's common sense to me.
It's like, the same. The White Lives Matter stuff with the Black Lives Matter is a direct relate. I saw this literally today in something. It's directly proportional to like the Black Power movement and the White Power movement as well. It means kind of the same thing.
Well, that's what the Black Power Party was essentially policing. What I meant. Black Panther Party was essentially policing their own neighborhoods and creating resources for the Black community.
Right.
They weren't built to be against white people. They're pretty much built to be uplifting to each other. To pretty much rise up and be able to live in the world and coexist with white folks.
If you think about the Judas and the Messiah, the movie.
Judas and the Black Messiah, yes.
Black Messiah, sorry, thank you. They did a good job of showing the breakfast programs, the food programs, all the stuff that was, to his point, that was positive that went along with that. And I think sometimes people just look at, oh, they're militant. They don't really realize what it was based off, what the foundation was, and what
they have horse blinders on. It's the exact same issue with Black Lives Matter, regardless if it's the organization or not.
Right.
It was about the movement of pretty much bringing attention to what's going on versus the actual organization may have been. I don't know exactly what they did.
One of y'all said, I can't remember.
Well,
who
it started
was.
By two women, right? You're talking about Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it was. Been a while since I've looked into it, but I believe it was by two women, and the focal point of it was to address police brutality against Black people.
One of y'all said, I think it might have been Jake.
Tell me I'm wrong. I mean, if I'm wrong, I mean,
no, it's just,
I think there were some other things in there too.
Well, I feel the thing is like, it's all deeply rooted in white supremacy. So a lot of times when I look at this, I kind of take it a step further and see Black Lives Matter as just part of like addressing white supremacy in the United States of America or in the world. So,
well, we talked about earlier about the lazy approach of, you know, Terry made a good point about this last week, of focusing on the corruption or whatever you want to call it for the organization versus what you just talked about, what the actual goal was and how lazy that can be sometimes. Because I hear a lot of people go right towards the organization and skip over, you know, what it was initially founded for and what the goals were for.
But even still, I feel like organizations get a bad rap sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, who's to say that the organization isn't doing decent things? You know, I mean, there's still people
that are
a part of it. You know,
that's fair.
Well, you know, and
this is what I see from an analysis standpoint. You see people tend to go towards.
Well, it's easy to pick on individuals.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's easy to pick on individuals as opposed to actually addressing the mission statement.
Right.
You know, but it's just like when you talk about, you know, the quote unquote Black Power or Black Life, anytime you put black in front of something, it just scares a certain segment of the population because, you know, there are a lot of white people who are afraid, and this is maybe they won't say it out loud, but I'll say it out loud for them.
Okay.
There are a lot of white people who are afraid that instead of wanting justice, one day black people are going to want revenge.
That's tough.
Okay. And they feel like if black people get in a certain position of power or we gain enough political power or whatever, we're going to do to them what they've done to us. And the thing is, I'm not saying that there aren't some black people who have that in their heart, but a majority of black people in this country, we just want our fair shake. We just want things to be fair. And unfortunately, when you know, when we say, hey, you know, we would like the police to treat everybody fairly, unfortunately the reaction by the police has been like, okay, we'll start shooting and beating up white people too,
right?
Instead of saying, okay, we're going to stop this biased behavior,
let's just I'll meet you in the middle.
Yeah, we'll meet you in the middle. And we'll
it's
shoot.
Always the polar opposite of what's meant, even with the whole defund the police thing.
Yeah,
it wasn't about getting rid of police,
right?
But it's,
it was
but
about it, not paying for certain things until they do
the
right by the whole community.
Well, that you got to understand, especially in places like New York, you know, where the police have a blank check. Okay. Now they've been cutting educational services, mental health services.
In the whole country.
Yeah. And so when they talk about defunding the police, it's like not we don't want to defund the police, but we just can't continue to give them a blank check. And one part of the blank check is whenever, you know, say, you know, they hit somebody in the side of the head who didn't deserve it, and then that person gets, you know, $1.5 million, people say, oh, well, you know, we got the police on this one. No, you didn't. You got the city where the police work. No. And so that $1.5 million never comes out of, like, they're still going to give the police all of their money.
Sure.
But now that $1.5 million comes out as like, oh, well, why can't we fix these potholes? Right. Well, you know, we had to pay $1.5 million to somebody because the police did this. Well, why can't we give teachers in, you know, this particular municipality a raise? Well, you know, because we got to pay for more. And don't get me wrong. Like, this is the hard part. Being someone who runs a business also, like, I see it on several different levels, because honestly, the police in certain communities are they're understaffed. But part of the problem with police misconduct is when the police are in the wrong, it doesn't come out of their money. It's not like when you're a doctor and you make a mistake and there's some sort of malpractice insurance that covers it. It's always the city that covers it. Yeah. And we're in a position to where, like, we just can't continue to write the police blank checks for their misbehavior.
Which is why the abolish the police movement was kind of created, because people are saying you can't fix these issues from within,
right,
is the argument here.
Exactly.
Like, you can't fix these particular things by just like putting band-aids on them. It's like, mm-hmm, you need to dismantle the police and then restructure it somehow.
Did you have a thought, man? I want you to.
I mean, essentially, is them paying the payment is pretty much the bandage. All right, we paid for it, mm-hmm, but I'm still showing you where I stand and what I can and will do. So I will murder your baby and give you $1.5 million, and everybody have an uproar, and then we'll wait 6-7 months, maybe a year, and then we'll do it again. It's pretty much a cycle of showing you that we're going to keep doing this regardless of how much money we're going to pay out, because money doesn't matter when you lost somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Well, think about it like this. If you are, just say you work at McDonald's, okay, and the shipment of quarter pounders comes in and you're in charge of that, and you decide, okay, well, I'll get to it when I get to it, and you wind up doing something else, and you wind up leaving all the quarter pounders on in the back parking lot, and they all go bad. Now, does your negligence just to them? They would fire you in a minute.
Yeah, it's a wrap for you.
It's a wrap for you. Just because you cost the company money,
yeah,
time, and, you know, potentially somebody getting sick.
Yeah.
So you're fired, and you'll probably never work at McDonald's again. Now, if your violent negligence causes the death or the maiming or the degradation of the quality of life of somebody because you couldn't control yourself, if you're a police officer, you think that would, and you cost your employer, which is the city,
yeah,
say $3 million, and you don't get to keep your job? You're not, no, I don't understand. In any other corporate situation,
everybody gets sent home.
You would get, if you worked for any corporation and you cost them $3 million due to your violent negligence, you would not be able to keep your job. But when you're a police officer, it's like, hey, what can we do?
Bro, I've seen people get popped off for way less than that and making errors for you know, working in corporate situations and jobs. You can mess around and send the wrong email to somebody and get popped off.
Yeah,
you can get fired for being late.
You can get fired for being tardiness.
But once again,
you kill somebody and be put on leave, administrative leave.
But you know, there was I wish I knew the name. I just happened to see it on my son's Instagram. Shout out to him. You know, where the police killed a woman who was having a mental episode, because we always want
time.
Yeah, and you know, because
the cop got off,
and the cop was like, just like, well, we know he killed her. But, you know,
and this is where
what can we do?
This is where defund the police kind of originated from. So instead of
we'll pay the family.
Oh, they're going to get it back.
Instead of allocating these funds directly towards police, let's allocate them towards different types of entities that can handle different situations where police aren't necessarily necessary to be involved.
There have been places in this country that have said if someone's having a mental breakdown,
don't call the police. Don't call somebody else.
We have actually funded and created a situation where we, because the thing is, you know, you don't call people with guns to try to help someone who's having a mental episode.
Agreed.
Because especially the only thing they know how to do is respond with guns to somebody who's might be, you know, naked in the middle of the street waving a knife.
Lone just said it. They're not even trained to deal with people that have that.
You know, if you can't deal with somebody, like if you've never worked with somebody who has some sort of deep emotional disability or, yeah, or something like that, to understand the different levels that people can escalate to.
Yeah.
And you don't address it at the root as opposed to just shooting somebody. Like you shouldn't. The police, and that's what actually kind of, like, at first when I heard defund the police, I was like, what do they mean? But then I got explained to me. I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Just, you know,
allocate those resources to other
entities that can actually, like, handle those type of situations, like a mental episode where we don't have police officers running in shooting people up.
So let's talk education, man. Let's talk curriculum. Let's talk courses.
Do we have to?
Smarts.
Schooling. Hey, where's that bottle?
Student loans.
That's a part of it too now, Terry. So Nicki Minaj has been added to curriculum for UC Berkeley. And there's a quote here. Somebody, one of the students pretty much just leaked the information saying that Nicki Minaj is about to be a part of a class at Berkeley. And the person that is the professor got on Twitter and explained that this is a class. The class is interested in thinking critically about you. And this is her, the professor talking to Nicki. That this class is interested in thinking critically about you and your productions within the context of broader historical social structures and hip hop feminism. So having your personal insight would be amazing. They wanted to come out to the, you know, obviously maybe dip in, dabble in for the course, maybe speak to the class, which I think would be dope. What do y'all think about Nicki Minaj being added to, you know, Berkeley's curriculum? Because she has a fan base. This is gonna be crazy. I think it's dope for hip hop that she actually is a part of, you know, a curriculum. But what are y'all thoughts?
If I was paying,
oh man,
if I was a parent, I'm dropping, yeah,
what you drop,
$30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year
annually,
and they're talking about, like, yeah, we're going to have a Nicki Minaj class or a class. No.
That's a senior year class.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
elective.
And the thing is, if the professor or whoever's writing the syllabus, dog, if you want to meet Nicki Minaj, just say you want to meet Nicki Minaj. Let's not turn this into part of your curriculum.
And this ain't like Ninth Wonder teaching at Duke or North Carolina A&T when he goes through hip hop and the history. That's a little bit different.
How is it different?
Because it's the history of hip hop versus them focusing on Nicki Minaj and the,
well, they're focused on the African American studies special topics and cultural studies course, but it's focused in feminism. So I mean,
I thought Ninth was more about production than hip hop history. I could be wrong.
Right, I'm talking about.
I see where you're going.
If this is part of a, say, 21st century feminism and media image, I could see
it might be
incorporating something, you know, but if, like, once again, I just think whoever is right would like to meet Nicki Minaj.
You think this is more about fandom than the actual
curriculum? Yeah.
You think so?
If Nicki Minaj is teaching the class, I'm going to class.
She's not teaching the course, be clear.
Okay, then let's change the conversation.
Yeah, she's not teaching the course.
Ninth is actually teaching the course.
Yes.
Yeah, what I read to y'all was the professor speaking to Nicki, saying this is what it's going
to
be about.
He wants to
meet
her.
And we would love y'all to come out, he or she. I didn't see the Twitter handle.
Yeah, I'm not taking a class of somebody else and built on somebody else.
No, there's somebody else that's going to teach this.
No, I don't want that.
Yeah, it's not Nicki. Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a good look for Nicki.
I think so.
I don't know.
If they totally understand where she's coming from and she's actually helping write the curriculum, and
she
shows up to a class or two, I don't think
that matters. I mean, if it's a modern day feminism class and it's based around, you know, the impact of women in hip hop culture and how it has moved and changed, and they reference Nicki Minaj and the impact that she's had,
and they
study and they followed along, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, I'm not mad
because
at that.
I do think she is a pioneer in. No, whatever that, that is, as
it's
far
more
as
alluring
she
if she's actually teaching the class, though.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? No.
No.
I think people go. I think people gonna be crawling, crawling and scratching to get in there myself.
I do too.
Without her teaching.
It's appealing, but it's not appealing from like an educational standpoint. Like, I am not going to spend money to go to a class that Nicki Minaj is teaching about feminism.
But the concept of her and feminism,
studied feminism and understands it for a lifetime, and they're using her as a reference, that makes more sense. But no, I don't want just some random person that happens to be an icon.
Lone on that. I don't think it's a bad idea. if it's taught correctly.
Not a bad idea, but I would rather say I took a class in Nicki Minaj with the professor.
Maybe a workshop.
Be like Chapter 5, the Anaconda Years.
Come on now.
Yeah, I'm cool.
Hey, I mean, I think it's adult. Like Talon's point, if it's taught by a professor that is in that and... you know, the curriculum is set up dope. It might be a dope look.
Yeah.
I think people are going to be in there.
Well, look, because, you know, you got to understand, I've always looked at it, because I remember at one point, like, there was some school that had a class based around Tupac.
Yeah.
You know.
That's kind of what I saw this as.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm looking at it as.
I hate to be the person to say that Tupac was more... or had more subject matter that could be studied versus Nicki Minaj.
You shouldn't hate to say that. You're right.
I
wouldn't hate to say that, you know, but at the same time, I'm still, you know, now that I'm old, I'm thinking as a parent. And if I look at your card and I see Tupac studies, I mean, I was like, you better get an A.
By the time, you're doing that, though, you're not even showing your parents what classes you're taking.
Yeah. So you better get an A, and you better get all three of them credits. And I don't want to hear nothing else about it.
Lone, would you sign up in a heartbeat for Tupac studies?
No, because it wouldn't be named that. It would be something about something specific that he did or something that he embodied. You know what I mean?
I mean,
it would be the Black Panthers' cultural influence on Tupac's rapping style and poetry.
Something like that, right?
Yeah, which would be legit.
I was being very general when I said Tupac studies.
No, for sure. I think there's something to be learned from that, depending on if somebody is literally putting... I've made curriculums before. I've made 9-month curriculums before I teach it.
Yeah,
what I'm saying is, like, if somebody is literally putting something together and they're putting the thought pattern into doing that stuff, then yeah, you know what I mean? But just like Nicki Minaj showing up and be like, all right, so today we're going to, cool. I am cool off that.
She might have a professional string in her where she can.
I'm not
be
saying,
a professor.
I'm not saying she doesn't.
Her popping up, course just a few, you know, once maybe. In the midst of the professor actually teaching the course, is lit. And that's cool. But I think this can be, I think if the professor has a chance to make this credible by having a legit course that people can learn from and have a dope. You talked about curriculum. If they do it, if the
everybody's
professor does
had
like
trash
it's
professors.
To,
if she's, if they're have, a good professor and they really know what they're doing and I can make the dope. Class informative and... I hate to say it, but somewhat provocative.
Yeah.
Then it could work.
I think it could work.
Well, you know what? College
isn't supposed to be provocative.
It's not. No. Well, I mean, it's a Nicki Minaj class.
Yeah. This is a one-off loan. This is different.
I'm going. I'm
pushing back.
I'm gonna push back even on my own point a little bit. Because
here we go.
Can you imagine it? At some point, you know, in the '60s. Somebody who's paying full tuition for their child to go to college and become a better person or whatever you think college is supposed to be during that time. And you hear Muhammad Ali is about to come speak. Now, I'm not comparing Muhammad Ali
we
and
get
Nicki
it.
Minaj.
Yeah, we get it.
But,
we get
or you're, or
I
the,
was
or
say
when,
Malcolm X. I was going to
no,
say absolutely.
I was going to say that because, you know, Malcolm X came to speak at Harvard. Yeah. Can you imagine paying Harvard prices and your kid comes home for Thanksgiving and is like, yeah, Malcolm X came to speak in my law. And you're like,
dope.
What? I'm not sending you that college to hear that Malcolm X person who's a black separatist and a black supremacist.
My mom and him would have been like, why you ain't sticking to the class? Like, what?
But I mean, like I said, I'm not trying to liken either those figures from the 60s to Nicki Minaj. But, you know, I had to think about in my head if there's a curriculum that's talking about.
Everybody had to be somewhat political back then. To make
true.
It.
If there's some way they can tie this into the political narrative of feminism and maybe the intersectionality of black feminism and white supremacy, then okay, right. Then maybe
I'm
this
telling
is something.
Y'all, it's in the curriculum.
You
it's
know,
in the, it's in the professor's hands.
Then, but you know, but if this is just some dude trying to meet Nicki Minaj, then
it's in the curriculum and it's in the professor's hands to make this legit. I think.
Yeah, that's I. You know, I just think, you know, like there's some people As soon as we got past the point that Nikki wasn't going to be teaching it, I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Like if it's about what she's done and what she's accomplished, or even not even necessarily what she has, but just like what other people view her as.
Mm-hmm. And there's so many dynamics there. We've talked about that, the stuff, what comes with her. So the course could have some meat and potatoes on it if it's,
would it be a better course if it was Lauryn Hill based?
No, I think it could be different. I think
it would just be different.
It might be equally as potent, but just different content.
It's just a devil's advocate question.
I feel like you could have two different. Stupid. Realistically, then we're diving into the deep elements of feminism, which I am not even anywhere qualified to talk about.
No, we don't want those kind of problems.
But
you're a smart man.
One of the stipulations is you can be late to class.
Yeah. Well, okay. See, exactly. So
Long used to sit in front of lecture halls, though.
I've only been to one lecture hall in my life.
Did you sit up front?
No. I actually dropped the class. Oh. Yeah. I feel like it can be, you know, and also, you know, not everybody that is famous and has knowledge or just even has a great perspective understands how to teach people things.
Wait till they come out with that Kanye West class.
Oh, he's already got classes.
So he's got a whole school.
Got a whole school.
That doesn't count.
It should.
It's not accredited. So no, it doesn't count.
That doesn't count at all.
Hey, just to put a
look it on the resume, Kanye West University.
Nobody has to read books there.
Just to finish this up before we go to the partners, just be clear. Lupe announced that he'll be teaching at MIT. I think that's dope.
And that's different.
Yeah, it's different.
You know what I mean? That's different.
Lupe is a for real genius, though. Yeah. If we're talking about genius.
He's a smart guy.
What is he going to be teaching there?
Is he about dinosaurs?
Don't do that.
He knows a lot about
it. Don't do that.
He's a paleontologist on the side.
Don't do that. Let's see.
Long year fellowship includes a spring semester rap course.
Okay.
No, yeah, look, shout out to my man, Tef Poe, who was a fellow, and not just a fellow, but a fellow, you know, a fellow at Harvard.
Yeah.
You know, here's a cat from St. Louis, mm-hmm. You know, who, you know, go back and listen to his music, man.
And Lupe,
he got good music.
He's a brother who says what he means and means what he says. So shout out to Tef Poe.
Yeah, shout out to Tef. He used our DJ at A3C in 2010.
Nice.
We actually had all of them here back when the Locals Only was over.
Yeah.
His brother slept on my couch.
Yeah.
Black Spade.
Along with all the stories, man.
I know. And somebody you know, Needles.
Yeah, yeah. James Biko. Yeah, yeah. The whole crew was up here.
Yep.
Let's shout out those partners real quick, Lone.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J. Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the New Old Heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
Young lady Glorilla. Mm.
And like her name's Gloria, you know that, right?
Yeah. Is it really?
Yeah.
That's new.
Gloria, Hallelujah. I can't remember her last name.
Her middle name
wasn't Hallelujah. It wasn't Hallelujah. Don't
do that.
Her
name's Hallelujah.
No, she's country, man.
Her middle name was not Hallelujah.
You're sitting here acting like
I got country.
Like that, doesn't make
that's
sense.
That's what I'm saying.
Bro, Gloria Hallelujah is not a real thing, though.
She's
y'all
from
not
Memphis.
About to tell
she's
me.
Go ahead, Memphis,
go ahead.
Tennessee.
Y'all got a whole computer there. Go ahead and look it up.
I don't believe that.
I don't know.
So here's my question, because you are
Gloria Hallelujah is a great name.
It is, though.
I don't believe that, but I ain't gonna look into it because it's a rabbit hole. I ain't gonna go down the rabbit hole.
No, go ahead and look it up.
Look it up.
You have a computer right there.
All
right,
man.
Glorilla's real name.
Glorilla Gloria.
Look, it popped up immediately. Real name.
Gloria Woods.
Gloria Hallelujah Woods. I'm with it. I'm all the way with it.
Go ahead, girl. I ain't mad.
Hey, her last name is Tabernacle.
Stop.
No, now see that would be.
I'm all the way with that.
Go
man.
Ahead then, Gloria. Hey, get your paper.
You act like you don't know what happens in the South.
I got plenty. You're right. I got plenty of folks in the South.
No, but when I see her, when she tweets the same way she talks, and I appreciate that.
The undercut discredit thing is what made me think about that was Diddy's recent Kanye West comments, where he kind of came out and. Was like, man, you gotta chill.
Kanye again.
Just the concept. Take him out of it. We'll just say Diddy responding to an artist, right? And having his own opinion. And the undercut thing comes into play when Ray J posted a comment on his story and said, you acting like I wasn't just at your crib 2 or 3 months ago talking about certain people and saying that they were clowns. You didn't say anything then. Now you want to jump out and be on a I'm pro-black, I'm this, I'm that type of situation. And I feel like in hip-hop that happens all the time because we always have OGs or legends that say something, and there's always somebody that undercuts it. I don't know if that's black culture, if that's hip hop culture, but it happens more and more now because
modern culture,
because everything is attached to clout. Like, I think Ray J did that strictly for clout. It's not about, I don't know if I 100% believe him calling him out to actually call him out to say, man, you didn't say that that night. Mm-hmm. I think it's more about clout. Am I wrong when I say that? Because I think that's
not necessarily. I mean, because he's been airing out Kardashian business a whole lot lately that he could have done behind closed curtains.
Talking about just, Kanye, or are you talking about?
No, Ray J.
Ray J.
Oh, yeah.
He's been
right.
doing a whole lot of that. So, I mean, that can be clout chasing, essentially.
Okay.
Because it's pretty much answering what they're doing on the show. So he's coming back having a rebuttal. So essentially, he's doing the exact same thing that Diddy did. Diddy was answering something that happened.
Okay.
Him having a personal relationship with Kanye, he spoke on it because they asked him about it.
What about Ray J, though? I feel like Ray J was in a position of trying to defend himself more based off things that happened. You see what I'm saying? Maybe the intention might have been a little bit different because of
He wouldn't be defending himself years ago. That's when true. They were pretty much saying the same stuff.
I can't argue with that. I don't know if it's, like I said, black culture, we do this all the time. I don't know if it's cultural, if it's hip hop. LL didn't get any pushback when he came out and talked about academics and all that. The approval rate, quote unquote, was like 95% for LL. But there are certain artists and legends that say stuff, and it's always somebody coming quick to try to, you know, either undercut it or just say some discredit.
I mean, some people are easy targets.
That's true.
I mean, if you set yourself up to be somebody that I can literally pick you apart anytime somebody brings you up, you're an easy target. So,
okay. I don't know. Go ahead. Jump in there, Long.
I don't really have anything real to say necessarily. I just feel like this is something, it's just like this thing that we see everywhere now. It's like list culture too. You know, everything is like this or that. What do you like? This or that? Which is better? This or that? Or this or that? Or here's all the things that are good, which excludes other things. And then people automatically assume, well, this isn't involved. And then it's some sort of controversy and it's whatever. I don't know, man. So
I see your point.
It's like, I feel like that's everywhere. Like, I even made it a thing to, in the last couple of days, I was on TikTok and I was scrolling. And I was like, all right, I'm going to count how many times, like, every people's content is, like, intentionally trying to pull one thing against the next thing.
Like, forcing you to make a decision,
like,
or something?
Intentionally, as opposed to just, like, putting something out there that's, like, you can just consume.
Open for discussion.
Yeah, you know, it's like, all right, here's this good, rather than, oh man, this shot on 2K sucks, and if you use it, you're not any good. Or, oh man, Bill Russell is the best basketball player ever. If you don't like it, then blah, 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 blah. Or here's this list where
sounds like
Patrick
Facebook
Mahomes.
Every day.
Tough.
But it's everywhere. It's everywhere, and everybody's creating content around that in general. But I think it's just controversy based because that's what people are addicted to.
Absolutely.
I like that. I'm thinking more towards hip hop, but you really just broadened my thinking because it is everywhere.
I feel like that's what I mean. Right. I feel like it is just everywhere.
That's the state of the world right now.
Yeah.
Or at least America.
And we see it in hip hop for sure.
Maybe Canada.
Yeah, that was my thing. I know we
North America.
Yeah. North and South.
We about to get 100 Canadian comments.
Hey, we love the Canadians.
We do. We want y'all to bring us up there, man. We'll post.
I almost
up.
Said something, but that would be probably. Not smart to say so.
Yeah, we're trying to get somebody to bring us up there, bro.
America Junior.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
See,
pretty much.
You know it's bad when Jay Moore say C.
Look, no,
you know it's bad when he say C.
Well, you know, one of my favorite things I ever see, you know, when I'm scrolling through Twitter is like the reply, "This you?" When because right. I just remember there was this is just an example. I'm not trying to say anything about anything. Yeah, I am.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are.
Every time I say something, it's going to be about something. But there was this, woman of African descent who decided she was going to get on there and say, you know, all you black men who are dating white women, you are so weak and you need to get your stuff together. And then, like, somebody went and found, like, her in a picture of her white husband and was like, this you? And that happens to celebrities all the time. Like, I remember when, because we talked about Diddy a little bit earlier, or whatever. And, you know, I remember he was at one of these conferences like, yo, we got to get back to the music and make sure we get everybody what they deserve. And that's when Mace always pops up with the, this you, where's my money? This,
see that, what I'm talking about?
So there's always, it, you know, it depends on what you're doing and how you living and how people are going to come for you. And it happened, and it could potentially happen to you at any time.
And if you
Mace
have-
is literally in a position to where anytime Puffy says anything, he's going to retort.
He's
going to
be like, facts. This you?
And we're in a place right now where if you have, and this has always been the case, realistically, if you have a certain amount of clout just built into who you are, depending on how much it is, you're always going to have people that are going to challenge you. Always.
Absolutely.
That have less clout. It's just this, and then you have to defend the people trying to get the clout. It's like this defending thing. And then you come back. We see it in the comments. People like come at us about random stuff because they don't know exactly who we are. But they're like, why do you guys have people commenting and liking your stuff?
And the intentions, and the like, intentions are always clout based.
It's it's also trolls. But it's the same. But it's the same, like,
isn't it's that coming, the same concept?
It's coming kinda? From the same place. Of,
that's what I'm talking
of
about.
People like wanting to like own people, yeah. And like, you know, like you can't own me from an account where you don't have a picture, just an avatar of a guy with a dragon. Like you can't own me. Like
it's the egg people we were talking about earlier, like the egg profiles on Twitter. Those are the ones that can be the most boisterous. Like they'll have the paragraphs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it's like, who are you, fam? It's ZY308 or something. Like, it might be.
It's just like, bro, like if you
KD had burner accounts.
If you can't say it with your if you can't say it with your face on it, yeah. Then just shut up. But anyways, that's beside the point, you know, like.
But no, I you know, it's just in hip hop, I see it. And you guys just open my mind up to just culture in general. Y'all all make good points.
Talk to me as a man in your face.
Talk to me, yeah. Talk to you in a man, like a man in your face, man. Cause,
for sure. Let's do 88 Keys.
All right, cool. You got the discog?
Yeah, I got it pulled up.
Let's get it.
So let's do, let's go through his discog. Y'all been paying attention. We've been doing this producer thing for a long time, and I don't even think we're close to the top yet, but we're going to keep doing what we do.
All right, we'll get there eventually.
This is the longest segment ever.
Ever.
I'll learn about 88 Keys tonight. Yep, 88 Keys. All right, let's talk about 88 Keys. So I guess I'll go through his discog here.
They missing some stuff.
Are they?
I think. This looks a little short to me, in my opinion.
All right, so the one song that stands out to me the most, there's a handful of them, but think back to like the raucous era,
mm-hmm.
And think of Black Star's album.
Back.
He produced Thieves in the Night off that, which is an amazingly written song. One of my favorite written pieces. I wouldn't say it's my favorite beat ever, but I will say that song specifically, the way the beat is, it gives the opportunity for Mos and Talib to really tell the story that they're telling in it.
Okay. I would agree.
Because it's not overproduced.
That song is cold.
So Thieves in the Night, he did Macy Gray, How Is Life, or wait, why didn't you call it? It doesn't matter because it's not hip hop.
And it's a remix.
Mos Def, Black on Both Sides. He did Love, Speed Law, and Made of December. He co-produced that.
That's tough.
DJ Spinna, The Scott Steinway. I'm not hip on that one. Let's see.
He had something on Lyricist Lounge Volume 1 too. He had two records on that. I remember that CD.
Yeah, the intro with De La Soul and Bathroom Cypher with Quest. J Treads, Thurston Howell, IG, Off and Hazardous.
He did 3LW.
Let's see here. Beanie Siegel, The Reason. He did Watch Your B Words. J Live, got What It Takes, Don't Play, and then also Play. So apparently, J Live's album had a song called Don't Play and a song called Play. He produced both of them just in case, you know,
You want to play or you don't want to play?
You just weren't sure what you were doing that day. Graph, Keep It Gangsta, Give Me That, 3LW, High Fashion, A Girl Can Mac, Big Ward, What Would You Do, This World, Midwest Swingin', Midwest Sticky, Ooh, Ooh, Ah. I don't know about Scratch, Something That You Missin', Music, we'll skip Music. What else we got here?
I like the music tracks, though.
Yeah, man, just listen, it's cold.
Yeah, Consequence, Doctor, Train, The Hulk, The Far Side, The and Choices, Mos Def off the New Danger, Champion, Requiem.
I remember that.
Talib Kweli, Right About Now, he did the actual song, Right About Now. Consequence is a rock and roll remix. Let's see, Braille, shouts to Braille, all right, so this is super like underground. Main Squeeze, 88 Keys. Now, you may have heard this song, Stay Up. Because you remember he dropped a whole album.
Kanye
was on Stay Up. That was a big one. And the death of album, or excuse me, the death of Adam.
Nothing. That was an incredible song.
Yeah, Stay Up was
super dope. Yeah.
Talib Kweli's Gutter Rainbows. He did After the Rain. Jay-Z and Kanye West Watch the Throne. He did No Church in the Wild.
That's big record with Frank Ocean.
Theophilus London. He did Can't Stop. Theophilus.
Theophilus.
Thank you, Jay Moore.
Well, I mean,
he kind of disappeared into obscurity.
He really did. He really did. Theophilus. Theophilus. Look, man.
Theophilus.
You know what we need in the English language is like tildes and stuff because I don't know. Yeah. It looks like Theophilus, Theophilus. It could be
Theophilus.
Phileas.
It sounds good when you say Theophilus long.
I thought it was appropriate. You know what I mean?
So, but it is Theophilus.
That's hilarious. That's what it is.
It is.
Theophilus.
Falafel?
Exactly.
Is that what you said?
Falafelus.
Stop, man. Go ahead, man.
Theophilus?
Yep. Anyways.
Yep.
Let's just call him Phyllis. We'll just call him Phil or Theo at this
point. Let's call him Theo, bro.
Mr.
Theo.
London.
Mr. London is respect. Mr. London.
That's Life featuring Mac Miller and Sia? Sia? I don't know. Again.
It's Sia.
Yeah.
It's Sia.
I really don't know. I haven't heard any of her songs. Or his songs. I don't know.
Stop, man.
Kanye West, Donda's The Jail, which was one that most people liked off that.
That's a big record.
Remote Control, Heaven and Hell, New Again, and Jail Part 2.
Shout out to Kanye giving that man his credit.
Yep, and he did Diet Coke off Pusha T's latest album. That was kind of...
that was an old beat.
It was super old. It was from an old beat tape from the early, mid-2000s.
Yeah. I feel like...
Yesterday's price is not today's price.
Not today's price.
That's what they keep saying.
I feel like dude was... When I was
a lot of broke people saying that,
ain't it?
Damn when I was shame. In Chicago, man, he dude was floating around producing for a lot of people that probably not gonna make it, you know, onto this. But he was out there, like he definitely was out there. But let's get into the list. Got all hands on deck for this one. So
all eyes on me for that PPP.
PPP loan?
I don't know. That's Jid or Earth Gang song?
God. That Jid album is probably top three of the year to me.
I'd be chasing Freddie though. I ain't gonna hold you.
Working hard for that PPP.
Oh, no, that Jid is hard.
I'm gonna revisit it though. You're right. Impact on peers and up and coming producers.
Five.
I'll meet Terry at a five.
I'll give him a six.
I'll go four.
Association with Kanye helps.
Kind of, but Kanye overshadows him.
True. How versatile are the hip hop records?
Seven.
Six.
Six.
He doesn't have a super extensive catalog, at least on Wikipedia, so I'm going to go six as well.
I'm going to go six, too.
Six is across the board. Okay, different hip-hop styles of artist producer works.
Mos Def, Kweli, Consequence, Braille, Kanye.
Jay. Kind of the same.
Theophilus.
Yeah.
Kind of the same pocket.
Pusha T, J-Live. Yeah, it's
I'm
all
giving him six.
On the same pocket.
Weird. It's another six for me.
Yeah, same cloth. Same cloth. I agree.
Yep. Big hits and cult classics.
Now,
four. Give him a seven.
I got to respect you more than that just off the recent Donda stuff and the Watch the Throne and even
seven.
Stay Up.
Still not a lot, though.
It's spread out, but.
Man, they mean something.
The percentage of songs that he actually produced, which doesn't even look like a ton, but.
That's why I'm giving him four. Mm.
Yeah, but
average.
But percentage wise,
I respect it. He's standing on it.
Percentage wise, based on his stuff that he's doing, that he's put out, he does have quite a few.
He got some joints, man. I'm gonna respect him. I'm gonna give him a seven. I'm gonna respect it.
Yeah, I'm going seven.
I'm gonna go seven.
Consistency of quality material released.
Eight.
He consistent. I mean, it might be limited from what we see, but he's consistent. I like eight. I'll meet you there, Jay Moore. I'll meet you there. Yeah.
I'll do eight.
How great is their overall body of work? It's. I mean,
give him a seven on that too.
You going seven?
I'll give him an eight.
I'm gonna go six.
Like I said, it's yeah. I'll give him an eight.
Seven, eight, six. He's pretty consistent with the songs that he produced. I'll do eight.
How often are the songs great from their beats? Got some record, as they say. He got some records.
Seven. I'll give him a seven.
Seven.
Yeah, I'm riding seven on out.
This is actually higher for me. I'm gonna do eight.
I'm gonna meet Lone at eight. I can respect that. Meet Lone.
Melodic elements, samples, and or original sounds.
He got a good ear
.
With his melody.
Seven.
I'm going to go eight. He got a good ear.
Seven.
Yeah, I'll do seven too. Seven Say, Jay?
I said 7.
You said 8?
I said 8, yeah.
I'm going to do 7 as well. Drums?
They solid.
7.
I'll go 8. His drums are solid.
Do 8 too.
6.
This sounds like a hog tie.
No. Close. Close. 5.4.
That is a hog tie.
Hold on, hold on. That can't be right. That's not right.
What are we missing?
6.7.
Okay, he is not hog tied. Man, he missed it.
He just doesn't have a whole lot.
It's not super extensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is not a hog tie. So shout out to 88 Keys, dope producer.
I don't think
we should do Flying Lotus.
I was literally just going to say that. I don't.
And Flying Lotus, for the record, is
super dope.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, he's nice.
He just doesn't have enough hip hop material. We're gonna base it off of like a Mac Miller song and a Kendrick song.
Yeah. So we coming back next week with Will I Am and Tyler the Creator. If we skip him. Now we starting to get into, just for y'all that have been paying attention, Tyler the Creator, then we got Hitman, David Banner, Buck Wild, Polo the Don, Jazzy Jeff, Mo B, Black Milk. So we starting to, you know.
Evidence, Babu, Scratch.
Yeah, we starting to get in there. We getting close, Hit Boy. It'll be after a while. And then we get to the Bomb Squad, the OGs, Muggs, Swizz, Salam, Remy, Jake One. We still got a little ways to go. Manny Fresh, Scott Storch.
Static Selector.
Eric Onassis. I'm going to be biased in a mug on that. I'm trying not to. I love Eric Sermon. DJ High Tech, completely slept on. Quick, one of my heroes. Kanye might mess around and get, you take your bias out, he going to have some tens.
No, it's going to be on music with Kanye. So yeah, I'm not, I'm not going to bring in the.
Yeah, you can't cap. However you want to slice it.
Well, the problem with Kanye, in my opinion, is that he's kept making music, and a lot of his recent music just isn't good. So it's going to bring down his overall.
It's the No Limit effect, huh?
Kind
put
of
put out so much.
Yeah, with what's the name of the squad?
The percentage goes down.
Beats by the Pound.
Pound.
They literally had Beats by the Pound.
Yeah. I tell you one thing, KLC, wherever he at, he has to be comfortable. If his paperwork was right, he's straight. KLC got it.
Hopefully.
I hope so. That boy, the much work that boy was
Manny,
putting in.
I hope Manny good, because he Manny gotta do a lot straight. Of DJing.
Well, yeah, but Manny publishing checks should be straight off the card.
I mean, because, but this is the thing, because Manny didn't sample.
Exactly.
Yeah, Manny was Manny's just checks crafting.
Look different. Yeah, Manny's checks look different.
Manny was smart.
Yep. Yeah, Manny's checks look different.
He was smart if the paperwork is right.
That's a good point.
Know. He's like, I don't care.
It was a little spooky back then.
Turk has had to sue Baby.
Yeah.
Juvenile has had to sue Baby.
Yeah.
Lil Wayne has had to sue Baby.
I'm pretty sure Manny Fresh has sued Baby as well.
I'm pretty sure too.
The paperwork was probably spooky, but Lone is right with him being smart. Manny rarely samples. So His publishing checks, I know they look better than anybody that does sample. I do know that.
Yep.
You're getting that bread. So Manny
the paper.
The lead paper. Before we leave.
What's up?
Shout out to everybody that's a patron.
Okay. Or who wants to become one.
Yeah, let me switch it to actually my face instead of. Yeah.
All
right. We have some stuff that we're raffling off, right? From Indie City and Vinyl. So if you're a $6 patron, we're raffling these bad boys off. It's like Lupe Fiasco. Pusha T, what was that? I called it like Blix or something, or
Blix.
Blix. Right.
Blix. Yeah. Mac Miller, freaking bootleg, and some other stuff. But
show them what they really want.
If you're any member of a patron, every once in a while we get signed stuff, and so we have this Mega Ran one that we copped from Mega Ran that he signed. So all of our patrons, even the $3 option and up, will get a chance to win this, because we're going to be raffling this soon, as well as this Freddie Gibbs signed Soul Separately CD. The insert is signed. So shouts to Indie. All these are courtesy of Indie CD and Vinyl, except for the Mega Ran we bought. This
Freddie Gibbs album is extremely dope. If y'all haven't listened, it's dope.
Yeah, so this is one of the benefits of being subscribed. You get entered into these random raffles that we have every once in a while. And I'm guessing it's probably going to pick up a little bit now that people are out playing music again. So
that was how he signed it, with a 5-star.
Hey,
because
I'm a grown folk business.
Always.
Because he's a 5-star type rapper.
Good looking out though, Lone. That's
yep.
Y'all go ahead and join the team, man. You'll get a chance to get this exclusive wax and CD. So we appreciate the support as always.
Got
and
that like, work. Just like what Ronald Isley say, he the plug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
We the plug right now.
Shout out to Ronald Isley.
Shout out to Ronald Isley, man. So newoldheads.com, again, all the education you need this year. See us, like it, subscribe. Do what's necessary. We really appreciate the support. Shout out to the chat as well. We appreciate y'all. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Minute.
Yeah.